Welcome to the Amazon Legends Podcast, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became powerful sellers, also experts specializing in helping sellers, and both former and current Amazon employees who will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here's your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. My next guest today is an immigrant, first and foremost. And like us all immigrants do, we just do whatever it takes to get the job done. So she spent her life doing all kinds of things, from real estate and not just here, but all over the world. She's traveled, lived in many places, doing real estate, and finally became a seller, building her private label in health drink. But when I first met her, we talked for such a long time, all kinds of things. She's a people person. So she's not a product person. She said, you know what, I understand how to do this. And she moved on to dealing with people. Today, she runs RankBell, which is a market research agency for Amazon sellers. And when she's not working, she's big into personal growth and anything to do with the brain. So not only smart, but actually academic about it. So with that, everybody, meet my guest, Isabella Hamilton. Welcome to the show, Isabella.
Thank you. What a nice introduction, Nick. What a nice introduction. When I take my Grammy or my Nobel Prize, I will invite you on stage to give my introduction, because that was fantastic. I was like, wow, who is that girl? I want to meet that girl. So thank you. Wow, that was very nice.
Well, I got news for you. It still doesn't do justice, because you've done so much. You deserve every single word about your past and your future also. So now, when you and I discuss and you describe your services to me, I said to you that we typically don't really talk about the guest services. However, we're going to make an exception in this episode, not because your services are this, that, the other, because you're going to give us some things that you do to find out information about product launches that will minimize risks and therefore budgets. So I want you to tell us what you do specifically and how you do it so that listeners can learn from you. So with that, give us your secret formula in product launches.
I love this question. I would say if I were to put it in just one little paragraph, I would say, take off your seller's hat and put on a shopper's hat.
Okay. So let's now, I'm an engineer by design, so I always like to break things down, because things in smaller pieces are easier to take on and fix. So what is the seller's hat that all sellers have? Define that for us.
I mean, you're just on fire with the great questions today, Nate. And you know, this is so important, because what we're going to discuss today, it's not usually discussed in, you know, communities or courses or anything like this, because we're going back to the basics, right? So when I say take off your seller's hat, I mean, when I say seller's hat, I mean everything that has to do with the knowledge that we already have, whether it comes from, you know, podcasts or courses or YouTube. I mean, there's just so much information overload out there. And it's really great. It's really great for somebody that's starting out. Even continuing as a seller, it's great. However, we tend to forget who we are serving, Nick. Who are we serving? Can we remember that? Because, you know, it's easy to go for the hacks. It's easy to go for the tricks. What's new? What other techniques are there that I may not have heard of? But what if we just pause and take the time to really remember who are we serving? And that's when you take your hat off, the seller's hat, and you're like, you know what? Let me see from the perspective of a shopper, what do they even think about my product? What do they even think about what I'm trying to offer them? Because even right now, if you go to Amazon, it's a sea, an ocean of the same products over and over again, which what happens is it brings all the prices down, the qualities down, and then we sell our soul in the end. Like, what are we selling, Nick? And who is our audience?
So I have a practice when I have my Amazon clients. Before we start selling, the first thing we do is the revenue model to see that it's going to make money and it's going to leave money in the bank. But once we do that, we move on to building the listing. And the first thing that I do is nothing to do with keywords, nothing to do with anything. Something that I created that I call the positioning statement elements, or in short, definitions. So in that, I tell them, forget keywords, forget price, forget anything. Answer these questions. And it's in an Excel file. It's five columns. The first thing is, what is the product? What are you selling? In one line, what is the product? I call it the product tagline. And then the next thing is, who is your primary audience? And who is your secondary audience? Because there's always multiple audiences. So you know what answer I get when I ask primary audience? They say, oh, women.
Everyone.
Ages of blah, blah.
Completely understand. I mean, you know, when you think of the audience, of course, your thought immediately goes to, well, everybody's my audience. Everybody, I want to attract everyone. But when you're trying to attract everyone, you're going to end up with no one because you don't even know who you are reaching. And I love that you have that formula. And a lot of advanced sellers like yourself that, you know, have been in this business for a long time with experience, they got to learn this. But if you're listening to this and you're pretty new and you have, again, so much information, you don't know where to start. And I would urge you, if possible, to sit down. And it is a little bit painful. I'm not going to lie. It is painful to sit down and say, you know what? What am I selling? Okay, I'm selling this product. Who is my avatar? And again, your first instinct may be, well, this can be used by everyone. Yes, it can. And this is what I assume you're referring to as the secondary audience. And, you know, third and so forth, but really, who are we trying to bring in? Because if you sit down and you focus on who that person is, then you are able to replicate that over and over again. You know who that person is. You find out what she likes. You find out where she lives. You find out how much money she makes. You find out what other products she uses. You give her a name. You make her appear real. And again, sometimes it feels like it's such a silly game. Like, why do I need to go through this process? But you know what, Nick? Amazon is going to be hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. It's going to be hard regardless. So I take this as almost as a pre-investment into the success of your brand. And when I say investment, I don't necessarily mean financial. Of course, that comes as well. But that time consuming and that effort and that, you know, sometimes stress and not being able to realize, am I even picking the right person? But the more you're able to zoom in, the more you're able to extract the essence of who your avatar is, I can promise you, everything is going to be so much easier. Again, it's going to be a little painful, but then you keep making that person into who you want her to become. And then everyone else who's like her will come into that field because you know who you're looking for right now.
So let's define that avatar in terms of its characteristics that you look for in your methodology. So how do you define it? What is your approach to defining that avatar?
If I were to start a product today, and again, I'm going back to what you said, and I love that. You said, you know, I want to make sure that this is going to financially make sense. And I completely agree with you because that's where, you know, it's like the silver lining. Like, do I go for my passion or do I go for something that's actually going to make me money? If you were to ask me, I think you can do both. But if you were just to analyze the, you know, the market and, you know, whatever tools you have to tell you, hey, this product is actually going to make sense, is going to make me money. Let's say we establish that. Now I'm going to try to find out again for my product. And I don't know if you want to just give an example of a product or if I should just speak generally, but if I were to pick a product, I will say, okay, this product is made for, let's say I'm the avatar for the product. You know, I'm, you know, late 30s, beginning 40s. I live in a suburban area. I own my own home. I have a car or two. I like to get my nails done. I like to get my hair done. I make between this much and this much. I'm the perfect avatar for somebody's product. Now, if they're able to understand me a little bit, even at that superficial level, let's say, oh, they, you know, they know she's blonde, she's this, right? You don't, they don't know that much more intimate than me. But what they can find out is, okay, she lives in an area that, you know, is primarily this kind of ethnicity, or they make this much money, or they have this many cars, then they're able to find more of me. Where do people like me hang out? I love to go on trips, you know, once or twice a year. Try to find out where Sarah, Amy, Ellen, where do they all live? Do they all kind of like similarities to what I like? Okay, then now we know a little bit more. Where do I hang out? Well, I like to read, you know, lifestyle magazines, or I like to be in Facebook groups that talk about trips to Tulum. That's where you find me and the other avatars. Now, once you're able to find out where I hang out, what is social media, maybe I like to do Twitter, then you are able to actually come and reach me as your avatar and say, hey, Isabella, I am thinking of launching this product, but I would love for you, you're my perfect avatar, I would love for you to give this product a test. If somebody came to me, Nick, with this proposal, and, you know, of course, your first thing is like, well, what's, you know, why would I do that? What's in it for me? That's when you can come in and you can offer people, you know, maybe a little gift, or maybe they get to keep the product in exchange for this offer that they give you. But psychologically, what happens is now they gave me this product free. They reached out to me, but now I'm emotionally invested. One, because, wow, somebody's honoring my ideas. Somebody's coming to me to help them figure out a solution, because as humans, what we want, we all want to help, right? So if you go from this aspect of giving, let me give this to you, let me offer this to you, then I am almost obligated subconsciously to give you the best I can give you. So now I've helped you in deciding what your product should be like, if I like it or not, if it should have these features, because let's say I already use the similar products, right? Again, I'm your avatar. I'm already using that hair shampoo that you're trying to sell me. So it will be easy for me to say, I have nothing to lose. Let me try this shampoo that you're selling. Now, once I try it, I'll be like, you know what? This actually dries my hair, or it, you know, it makes it stand up or whatever. Now you as the seller, you can take this and create that product before it even reaches into other people's hands, with this improved benefit that the other ones don't have. Well, what do you think about the price, Isabella? Well, I think, you know, maybe it's a little pricier than the other products. However, if it was made specifically for my hair, then I would pay a little more. Do you see how now you have direct information from your direct avatar? Because what happens is, Nick, and I know a lot of people use a lot of review tools, and those are fantastic to grab the essence of, you know, what reviews say. Oh, well, this product is this product is that, but they don't really tell you. They may give you a 5-star and say, this product is fantastic, or they'll give you a 1-star review, say, your product sucks. There's not really much in between. But if you're able to ask me, your avatar, directly, now I can give you ideas on how you can create it for me. And again, now going back to, now I'm heavily invested in this. I'm emotionally invested. So now every time you come out with a product, because I am part of your brand, I would love to help you. And again, it's not that I'm, you know, some kind of special person. It's how our minds work. If people come and ask you, Nick, you know what? I really love what you do. And, you know, I see you putting the work with your agency. Do you mind like mentoring me for 10 minutes? I really feel stuck with this issue. Wouldn't that make your heart like warm up and be like, you know, I really want to help. You don't even know how this happens. So if you're being honest and real with people, and you go and ask this person, what do you think about my product? How can I make it better for you? Automatically, everything changes. The energy changes. And then you go, you find me, then you find the other person, then you find the other person, then you find another one like me. Then next thing you know, you have 10 of us, you have 20, you have 50, you have 100. Then you can start your own sub community of, let's make it even fancier, your own board of directors. How about that? Your board of directors, that anytime there's products that need to be changed or even new products that you're trying to launch, you just ask your community. Sorry, I went too far with this. No, you have to stop me because I like to go detailed into this.
No, this is, so I get this. So what I'm hearing from you though is not to launch it on Amazon. This is a pre-launch. So what you are doing is several things. First of all, you are creating your network of influencers. And I want to take it back to the beginning to create that avatar. So first of all, those demographics of gender, age, income, that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about what is this person like? They are fans of whatever, sort of fans of certain, you know, rock band or whatever the case may be, certain sports. So those are the things that define the avatar. What are the interests? What are the passions? What are the, like, moms, for example? I mean, women have that luxury of being in that group where they really get together and support each other. Men don't do that. There's no men group. There's always women. Everybody's against women, but nobody's against men. So there's no camaraderie, so to speak. But having that moms advantage is also another big deal. So define those rather than looking at demographics, and then leverage those strengths from that community you're creating, and then turn them into influencers. And then collect feedback. Based on that feedback, now from the group of people, you've done several things. First of all, you've improved your product. Second, you've created a following. Third, you have pretty much secured your launch traffic that will come from outside Amazon, right?
Yes. So
that's what I hear from your approach. Is that right?
Yeah. So actually, you've said at least 3 or 4 points that I could take and like go into detail, but I'm going to try not to go in too far. First, you said this only has to do with, you know, what the interest, but really this is just one aspect, but you said it right. When somebody creates that product, they should actually look into all of that, the demographics, do the market analysis, if you want to go deep, I mean, look at US Census. I mean, there's so many Google Analytics, Facebook Trends, Google Trends. I mean, there's a plethora of tools that you can utilize along with finding actually the person and their interest and where they are. So those two you should do together. However, if you just do one, this should probably be it because it will give you a little bit more fast action. That's one thing. And then another thing you said that I want to touch on, excuse me, you said this is only for pre-launch products. This specific method that I said you can use for before you launch a product, which is very wise to do. And believe it or not, we spoke about it last time. Not many people utilize this. They don't, believe it or not. But you can also use it just because you already have a product. It does not mean that you cannot do it now. So a lot of clients come to me, Nick, and they said, you know what, Isabel, I've done so well. I've been on page one for so long. A Chinese competitor came and destroyed me overnight. I'm on page 5. How do I get back? So what happens is that's when they're like, oh, I need to really look into this. I really need to go back to basics. So we can help if you already have a product as well. But now, if you were to have this community, it will take you no time to fix problems such as this, where a competitor comes in and, you know, deranks you and delists you and all these things, because you already have the support that's necessary. You know, let's say Amazon just removes you off Amazon completely. Then what are you going to do? You know, a lot of people have lost their life savings, and, you know, let's not make this show about anything negative, but I want people to be aware that this is a possibility. Again, if you have your own community and if you have your own shoppers ready, you're not going to be worried if you're going to feed your family tomorrow or not. So you can use this service. And again, like you said in the beginning, you don't usually talk about services. You can use something like RankBell to help you. But what I want to give you guys, even more important than that, is ways to do it yourself. And I know I started kind of strong because I literally gave you the roadmap into how we approach. I've been doing this for 9 years, Nick, and not much has changed. I mean, of course, Amazon rules and laws change, but our approach has always been human contact, human relationship. And, you know, every time I'm invited on a podcast or I speak on stage, people are like, Isabella, give us the black hat tricks, give us the tips. And, you know, maybe they're disappointed when I say, you know, you really have to just put in the work and really understand who you're selling and what are you selling. So go ahead and ask me the additional questions. I don't know if I missed anything from what you said.
No. I mean, you are exactly. So the fundamentals don't change, right? So circumstances change, but it's, you know, there's this saying, going back to the basics. So basics don't change. That's and we find ourselves going back to it all the time.
And we're fortunate that they don't. We're grateful that they don't. Because imagine what a mess it would be if every single day you would have to change your whole, you know, system.
Yeah, I mean, look, whoever came up with these rules, okay? So first of all, 24 hours in a day, right? So not 25, not 23, it's always 24. So you can always plan your day accordingly. So it doesn't change. So some things don't change. And 2 + 2 always makes 4. So in the right partnerships, it can make 5, but it's either way, it's not too far. So fundamentally, what you are saying is know your customer in terms of their not only demographics, but their interests, their passions, what they like, what common issues they have, or anything like that, and then put your products around those ideas in terms of how it would improve their lives.
Yes. Right? Yeah, I think it, and I know you love books as well. And for those listening, if you ever read, I think it's called 1,000 Raving Fans. I read it many, many years ago, but I remember this one thing, you know, if you are able to create 1,000 raving fans, you're never really going to go hungry again. You know, the way I took it is because those fans will be there for you, helping you and supporting you. And we're so disconnected these days, Nick, you know, with so much social media and, you know, voicemails rather than face-to-face interactions, you know, people flipping you off from their car when they zoom past you. There's no human connection. So if we're able to connect with 1,000 people, and it's not that hard. Of course, don't go crazy tomorrow trying to gather 1,000 people, but you start with that one person. You start with that one avatar, and then another one, and then another one. And the more you do it, the less challenging it will become. And just like any habit, you will understand the methodology. And next thing you know, you have 100 fans and 500. And when you're at 1,000, the world is yours. Of course, move on and do 10,000 and 100,000 and look at Nike, look at Coca-Cola, look at all these household brands that need no marketing. Nick, I am of the belief that, again, you know, Amazon has been great for all the brands, but where we're moving towards, I believe, is going to be a lot more the relationship between a brand and the human. Again, you know, it's easy to go to Amazon and type in 7-year-old toys, right? And you buy the cheapest one, and then they play, your kids play with it one time, two times, and it breaks. That era of this like Me Too products is going to end. And then what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's the value always is in the intangible, right? So tangible things. So I have a bit of a controversial approach to relationships, especially employee-employee relationships. And I tell people, look, when you look for a job, and this applies to product as well, there's no difference. It's not that employees are like products, but the focus is not on that part. The focus is on the intangible. So I say this, if you are a talented employee and you are smart and you want to grow in life and you want to do good things and earn money in the process, and you have the potential to grow, because some people want to do things, but they don't have the potential. So they just spin their wheels. So, and you have all the good things. The worst thing you can do is box yourself into a salary. Because that's all you're going to get. But if you have an intangible component in your compensation, which is your appreciation of the company, so how the company appreciates you, it's in your compensation. Build an intangible. If you have an intangible component, what is intangible? Intangible means you can't put a price tag to it. It varies. And if you're doing the things right, it will always grow. Same thing with products. The best example is look at Apple. Look at Starbucks, right? People don't mind paying the extra. So, and so now going back to what you said, relationships are the intangible, right? It's not about, so people say, oh, I have so many followers. Oh, yeah. How many of them do you know? So which one is worth? Less followers, but more personal relationship? Or thousands and thousands or millions of followers that you don't really know, most of them? So that's what it is, and I totally agree. And I experience this all the time. And, you know, the kind of relationships that I have been able to build because of the podcast, I know one thing. When I reach out to them and ask a question, they'll answer me. They'll pay attention. So this is what you are talking about, applying these personal, deep personal characteristics of your buyer, whoever is going to buy your product, to your product before even you launch, or once you get in trouble, you can go back to them. That's what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. And I want to take this even deeper if we can, because, you know, I'm very spiritual and very, you know, all about this stuff. But if you really think about this, when you create this relationship with your clients, with your customers, and just like you mentioned, you know, you created such a beautiful culture around, you know, Argometrics and your podcast. So whenever you have a question, you just send it out to people and they all answer. Doesn't that make you feel amazing knowing that you have that? So beside just getting the sale, beside getting that client to spend their $20, $30, $50 on your product, but knowing that somebody's there and supports you, that is when you have a fulfilled life. Because there is another side of this, Nick, that I've seen, again, being in Amazon for the past 9 years, I've seen people make millions a month, and being depressed, being sad, being like there's no life in them. And you know what? I look at them and they did everything right. Everything by the book, A, B, C, D, they got to this point and now they're like, there's no joy in life. Well, there's no joy because, again, it goes back with, do I want to make money or do I want to follow my passion? And that's where we started the podcast with. If you combine the two, and even if you, let's say you may not love the product that you're selling right now, But if you find it in your heart to create a connection with the product that you're selling and actually care, you see how even that product changes besides just vibrationally and energetically, which you can see with your eyes. But when I receive a product, let's say Etsy is the best example of this. You receive a product from Etsy and it's so cute and it's packaged so nicely and it has a little tie and it has a little written note saying, thank you so much for purchasing. I'm able to give my daughter, you know, support her in her next trip at school or whatever it says. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like it makes me feel so good inside because I am human and they're human. And if we can bring this human love and concept into what we sell, that goes beyond any riches of the world that you can accomplish. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. So people, so this podcast is called Amazon Legends. We typically talk about the, I don't like to call them hacks because I don't know whoever came up with that term. Yes, I mean, these are tricks, but hacks suggest that it's not a good thing to do. Yeah. So people who are expecting these tips and tricks and methodologies that we spend a long time talking about this, but at the end of the day, those are just the means to an end. And in order to get to that end, something has to be driving. Something has to be driving you. Something has to be driving the things that will help you, all in that direction, right? So that drive comes from positive energy, mm-hmm. positive thoughts, and ideally from many, many sources. So, I mean, we talked about this before. There are examples in the history, but anytime people do things with faith, and I'm not talking about religious faith, with the conviction, belief, positive, they usually get what they want. Well, why is that happening? It's happening because it's the movement. The movement, every movement is driven, every movement is fueled by energy. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, if you get in your car to go from A to B, you need gas. You know, you send a rocket to the moon, well, you need fuel to get the rocket up, right? So anything to move from A to B, that means all good things that you want to come to you will have to be energized somehow, fueled by energy. Well, guess what your brain produces when you start thinking, right? It's energy. So, except we don't see it. So the positive the thoughts are, the positive energy you put out there, and the positive energy will bring those good things in your direction. And when you have, how does that apply to Amazon? So this is not, well, it applies to Amazon. If you are recruiting these fans, you're making your customers your fans, you have influencers, you are making an impact in their lives. And then by simply listening to them, taking their feedback, making them feel special, these things are all things that will come together. And when you least expect it, things will start to happen that will make an impact. So that's what you are referring to, right? Oh,
I love how you conceptualize this because it's exactly that. It's like putting gas in your car. Because if you just, you know, start and even, you know, with spirituality, you can't just like sit there and be like, okay, everything is great, but not lift a finger. No, you want it to be great. You put in that energy into that product and you bring that positive energy into it and that positive mindset. Because you know deep inside your heart if your product is shitty or not, honestly. You know, if your product is exactly the same like all the other sellers, you might not want to admit it. So if you just have the courage to look and say, you know what? Okay, my product is this. Now let's put some love into it. And just like you said, Nick, people will feel it. They will feel the love that you have in that product. Even if it doesn't come wrapped with that little Etsy cute little packaging, no, they will feel it and they will understand it. And you couple that with you actually reaching out to them and understanding what they want. And you couple that with, like you said, with the hacks, with the learning, with the courses, is everything, is every part of it. And you know what? People, you're right. People may be like, oh, it's just Amazon, but it's part of your life. And you know, even if you only sell on Amazon for a year and you retire and you make bank, this has been part of your lifetime for 1 year. Or for a month, or for however many hours. So don't discredit the time that you're investing into something like this, because the time that you invest is taking away time from your kids, or maybe time from dating, or whatever you are doing. So use it wisely and use it. It's going to be hard regardless. Just choose where your heart will be. Like, do you want to just wake up stressed out in sweat and tears and quickly go check Seller Central every morning? A lot of people do that, Nick. A lot of people wake up stressed and they check, is my product still here? Did I make any sales? You don't want that. You want to have a peace of mind. You want to go to sleep peacefully. And again, that positive mindset comes in through. You know what? Okay, sometimes things happen. You don't have to like put all the negative energy into it and think your life is over. No, you can grieve or give yourself a few minutes to grieve, but then say, you know what? I know in the end, everything works out in my favor. Knowing this, what can I do right now to fix this? You see how just that little bit of a mindset shift changes your whole perspective around everything that you do, whether you sell on Amazon, anything that you do, you can apply this to everything.
Yeah. I want to share with you something. So I was on this is something that I figured out all by myself when I was down. And I was going through difficulties and somebody said something. And then I kind of turned it into something that I can use. Because whatever I learn, I like to turn it into something actionable. So how can I use this? So it's kind of in my toolkit that I can go pull out at any time use. So the question is, when something really goes bad and you have a crisis, things around you fall apart, and we are human beings, we're going to feel bad, right? We're going to be in the dumps. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to talk to anybody. So how do you get out of that? So this is what's in my toolkit. You don't. You stay in it. Dabble in it. Until you go to sleep. But you wake up. Tomorrow is another day. Mm. You draw the line. Mm. So because what happens is, something happened and you are in a bad place. You feel bad for two reasons. You are in a bad place in the first place because of what happened that you feel bad about. And then you feel bad about being in a bad place. And you want to try to get out of it. You try, but we are human beings, right? We cannot. We cannot. It doesn't happen like that. We're not machines. So now you're feeling bad. Because things happen, you're feeling bad about feeling bad and not being able to get out of it, and it becomes this vicious circle. Instead, make your peace with the fact that this has completely messed up my day, the day is gone, and I'm going to dabble in my misery for the rest of the day and night.
Continue. I'm smiling because this is so good. It's like I'm biting my tongue not to say anything. I want to listen to it. This is so good.
By the way, but you don't go sit in a corner, turn the lights off, and sulk. No. Do other things. Do other things that will be somewhat neutral. Watch a show. Don't watch a romantic movie. Don't watch one. Just watch shows that will be somewhat either neutral or inspirational Or go for a run, go whatever. Just do something and keep yourself busy feeling miserable and feel the worst possible you can feel while doing those things. Oh. And then go to sleep. And then by the following morning, you wake up. Another tip, when you wake up, look up at the ceiling and smile, then get up.
Mm. Oh my God, can I say something? Because this is so good. I love this. Because right now, even if you go to YouTube or, you know, you follow different people and books, they say, you know what, like, just forget about it, move on and continue doing this. But I really love what you said, sit in it. And nobody tells you this. You know why nobody tells you this? Because it sucks. It hurts. It hurts, you know, whether you it's Amazon or it's something personal, it hurts. And we want to take away our mind from it, you know, whether it's drinking or smoking or whatever, just so we don't feel it. But I love what you said, sit in that feeling, because that you should be grateful that this is happening, because this is a learning, growing opportunity. And you should be thankful, just like when you get a really big payday in your life and you're like, oh my God, this is so great. Everything that I wanted is coming true. When something bad like that happens, and that's my tool, when something bad happens, sit in it and say, you know what, I am so grateful this is happening because I get to learn a lot. Of course, it would be lovely if we can only learn from other people's mistakes, but you cannot compare the learning of somebody else's mistake than when you go through it with the details that you feel that get imprinted into your memory, and that you put that as a building stone into the next chapter, in the next chapter. And that's how people kill it on Amazon. That's how people build empires. That's how people become millionaires. That's how people become 100 millionaires. And billionaires. Do you think they went from this little problem to here? Impossible. It's physics. You cannot. You have to build step by step by step by step. And again, you know, when we read the quick hacks and we try the quick hacks, they may take you a little bit, but you might fall back down because there's not really a lesson in learning how to do a black hat thing on this or on that, you know. But when you build the skills over and over again, and again, going back to what you said, just sit in it, and doesn't matter if it hurts, you learn from it. And another thing that you said that I love is, you know, watch something that's motivational. And that's something that I do. I have a few accounts that I follow on YouTube that are all about like inspiration, or, you know, speaking of a show that we both love, Rise of the Empires, like that's a great example of a show that just like empowers you in a very animalistic way, if you get to watch that show. But all of these are tools that will help you and also let you enjoy, because in the end, we're human and we're here for such a short amount of time. Like things that you were stressed at about 10 years ago, I can guarantee you forgot about. Things pass and you learn and you move on, and one day you die. What happens in between is important.
So I have something for you. So along these lines about learning from bad experiences, I have a question, a riddle, whatever you want to call it. This doesn't belong to me. I heard this, you know, a clip lurking around the internet. Lobsters have hard shells, right? So as yet, we get to see lobsters that have grown, huge lobsters. So the question is, how do lobsters grow if they have hard shells?
I don't know.
Do you know how?
I don't know. Why don't you tell us?
So what happens is, when a lobster starts to grow, it grows to a point where the shell, because it's hard shell, starts to suffocate the lobster. So it cannot grow anymore. It comes to a point where the lobster is going to die inside that shell. So it cannot grow anymore. So what happens is, as yet, that shell is the only thing that protects the lobster from predators. So therefore, the lobster needs to be inside the shell for protection. As yet, the very thing that protects the lobster is killing it. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it crawls under a rock and crawls out of its shell. at which point becomes totally vulnerable. So it grows a new shell. And then once the shell is grown, it crawls outside the rock and now has a lot more room in the new shell, and the suffocation is gone and protection is back. So the moral of the story is growth is uncomfortable.
I received this gift. This is so beautiful. I've never heard this before.
You've never heard this?
Never heard this before. And I'm so grateful and thankful that you gave me this gift, because I can take this and apply it in my life too. And, you know, if we don't get to share personal experience with people, who even are we? You know, like, we're two people on a podcast, you know, thousands of people are going to listen, but I can take what you just said and apply it into my life right now. And a little parenthesis, just recently, about a week ago, I quit all social media, you know, completely. I have over 50,000 followers on Instagram, and I just deactivated it. And I said, you know what? I am that lobster right now. I am that lobster. I am, you know, removing myself from everything that I thought I am and everything that the world perceives me to be, you know, that avatar. I'm extracting myself, even though that's protection, right? That's protection that I have to the world. You know, I'm Isabella Hamilton, CEO of Ring Bell, esteemed speaker, blah, 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 right? And I'm taking myself out of it and literally under a rock, because all I'm doing is, you know, meditating and writing and thinking about, you know, my life so far and my life coming next. And I don't know how long this will take, Nick. I don't know how long I'll be under this rock, but I am okay with it. I'm okay with this growing phase. And, you know, and you're right, it's vulnerable, because sometimes you're like, oh my God, like, am I going to die? Like, is something going to get me and crush me? But this is so beautiful. Like, really, thank you for saying this. And, you know, I am humble enough to admit that, you know, this is what I'm going through right now. So this is great. Great analogy.
Well, I mean, look, when you... There is a saying I read somewhere, that knowing your weakness and being out with it is the strength you have. So it's, you know, we live in a 21st century. You need to admit who you are and what you are and what you are not. And then whatever you're not, if you want to be different, then, you know, it starts with first accepting it, right? So but this story, when I first heard, I thought, wow, this is so true, because everything that happens to us that we learn from makes us uncomfortable at the beginning. And then once we deal with it and then we figure out the answers, then you become a much, much better person, much stronger person. So I had a guest. His name is Ben Leonard. For anyone listening, I would encourage you to watch. So it's an English, he's actually from Scotland. He lives in Scotland, and he built a business and sold it to Thrasio, one of the first acquisitions of Thrasio. Great business, Ben Leonard. So he developed this methodology to focus on chaos. And he made it a learning experience. That's how he built his Amazon account. So whenever there was a problem and the problem occurred, he would take a hit. Either the listing would get suspended, or his seller account would get suspended, or something would happen, or bad feedback, whatever. And suddenly, you know, as you know, with Amazon, when one thing happens, many things happen. So it was like that. And then he simply studied it, and then turn it into something he could do to make him stronger going forward, never to allow the same problem coming back again and things like that. So there is all these opportunities out there, except that they come in the form of not so pleasant and uncomfortable situations, right?
Exactly. That's lovely. I look forward to listening to Ben Leonard's episode. And you see, you can take anything as a passion project. You know, I feel like we take everything way too seriously, way too seriously. You know, like, okay, now I have an Amazon store. I have to do this. We take it so serious and we're sad and we're depressed. And we're so focused in that we forget that why we started even selling on Amazon. You know, maybe to take a trip with your spouse and kids or do this. We forget about all that because we're so like focused on this little thing that we forget why we started. So I love that you said Ben Leonard, like he focused on chaos, you know, like what if you take your project and call it a project? What if selling on Amazon is a project for you? Let me see what I can learn. And like you said, you know, waking up every morning and look at the sky and smile. And I'll even encourage people to smile and say, thank you, I'm alive. Like remember the fundamentals, going back to the basics of being alive.
Well, you know, what we take for granted all the time is our health. So it's there's so many things to be grateful about. So one thing I want to tie this back to you, I want to share my experience and tie that back to...
This should be a 2 hours episode, Nick. I think this should be a 2 hours podcast, not a 1 hour. It's not enough.
No, I mean, there's so much to talk about, but unfortunately, you know, there's so much time. But the when I first came to America, I belonged to Rotary Club. Yeah, Rotary Club, for those who don't know, it's a service organization. You know, help kids, help you know, students, this international projects. And for example, Rotary Club was the one who was responsible for dealing with polio and things like that. So we had meetings, weekly meetings, and there was a gentleman there. He was a doctor. He would go around the world giving conferences. He specialized in anybody with back pains. So one day he was coming back home and his flight was connecting through through Swaziland. Swaziland is a small country to this day, is ruled by a king. So, and not a very good king either. So he had a few hours to spend and he came to learn that there were a lot of kids with AIDS. And he came up with the idea. By the time he landed back, you know, in Florida, he came up with the idea, I'm not going to allow this. So what he did, fast forward several years, he built a school, he built football fields, soccer fields for kids, and brought vaccinations, brought everything, all to eliminate AIDS in that part of the community. So the challenges he had to overcome, starting from the king himself, there's so many. So then 9/11 happened. So one day we were talking and I talked to him about how bad things are. And he said, Nick, this too shall pass. He said, right now, we have a lot of problems because we have a lot of obstacles around us. And he said, in America, obstacles are not here to stop us. Obstacles are here to test us because we will always go to work to figure out, to get around them, under them, over them, and figure out how we can leave them behind. That's what obstacles are for. And that's what we're going to do. So I thought, wow, this is the way to. So whenever something is thrown at me, I don't see it. I don't want to say I don't see it. I try not to see it as an obstacle, but that I'm being tested. Mm-hmm. So how can I pass the test? So we have intellect. We have, you know, stubbornness a little bit. So we can do it. So that's my approach. So going back, And immigrants seem to have a lot more of this attitude, especially the new. So since You've also come to this country. You weren't born here. So share with us some of your beginnings. Where did you grow up and where what brought you here and some of your life experiences so that we get to know you a little bit?
Thank you for the question. Whew, that's a good question. I'm from Romania and I came to US when I was 20 years old, $100 to my name. And if I go back even further, I think I've always had this deep desire within me to, well, one, not be broke, but two, actually live in a place that allows me to become my full version of myself. Even though at 20, I didn't know what that was like. I just felt like there was something more than what my own country could offer me at the time. And, you know, for those who are into history, you would know that, you know, Romania was communism. We had a dictator for president who was shot at the wall along with his wife. It was very tragic, you know, experience for us to have. And for me, you know, being 6, 7, 8 years old at that time, you know, to go through that and experience what hunger is and experience what really a poor society is. And again, not knowing that there's something better, but I think intrinsically my soul just knew. So growing up, I've always wanted to escape the system and create a better life for myself, right? So the only tool that I had at that time was my imagination. So I would imagine living in a better state. You know, I would go to sleep, you know, very cold. I remember my grandma and even my mom sometimes, I mean, it was so cold in the winters, Nick, that they used to heat up bricks in an oven, like an actual brick in an oven, and then wrap it in a towel and put it in the bed with this under the blanket. And I don't think I've ever shared this story, it just came to me. So, you know, keeping warm and, you know, sharing the food and, you know, not having clothes, you know, you would get, you know, your cousin's clothes that was like 2-3 sizes bigger than you. And, you know, everybody was just sharing and it was great. And I'm so grateful that I had that experience become coming to US. However, it did not stop me from wanting something better. So I took all of that, you know, the hardship in a sense and brought that into like just fire coming to US. Like I burned all the ships. I said, you know, I'm going to America and I'm not looking back. And the one way that I could come, luckily I was a female, you know, born in Romania. That was, you know, it had its own attributes, but I was able to get a job as a nanny in an au pair program. So soon as I came to US, I knew, I mean, it was very hard to leave my parents because I've never left my parents. I never left my siblings. I mean, literally we were all sharing a house together for 20 years. It's not like here in US, you're 18 and peace out, you know, there you're really family. And for me being out of the house for the first time in my life and really taken and thrown into another life, another continent, a language I didn't understand, with people that had expectations of me to do this when I was such a kid and I barely knew what I was doing on my own. And, you know, but every single one of those moments, that was an obstacle. That was a challenge. Every day was something new. It's not like now, you know, we even being an adult, we take this for granted because, yeah, we have challenges and issues, but they don't come that often. It's like, oh, maybe once a week or, you know, if we're lucky once a month or, you know, whatever. But, you know, when you're put in that position, you know, obstacle, challenge, sadness, culture change, you miss your home. I had to go through all of that. But even with that, Nick, I knew that I could not go back. So I knew that it doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. I cannot go back. So that kept me fighting. So if I cannot go back, what can I do? I don't know, improve my situation, learn the language, learn the culture. Oh, I see when they say this, they want me to do this, but what about me? Like I started questioning my own identity and who am I and who have I been and who do I want to be in front of this people and the next and the next and the next. So, you know, making this shorter, I worked as a nanny and then, you know, I cleaned houses for a while because I wanted to, you know, make money and send it back home because, you know, even the program that my dad got me into, this au pair, it was $1,000. And that time it was like a salary for a year. It's not something you just have saved. So my dad had to borrow this money. So my whole process was like, okay, come to US. Okay, now I'm here. Now work hard to get that money to send it back to my dad so he can pay the debts, because I don't do that. That's not me. So, you know, once I did that, okay, now how can I build? Can I save some money? And then my next step was like, okay, I need to bring my family here, because the whole purpose of me coming to US was so I can bring my family so they don't have to suffer. So, you know, I had quite a few challenges as, you know, as a young adult to, you know, worry about not only feeding myself, but bring my family here. And once I did, and of course I made it, because like you said, once you put your mindset and energy into something, there's nothing that you cannot accomplish. I brought them, but now I'm faced with the same situations again. They don't have money. They don't speak English. And I'm the only one here with, you know, maybe a year experience in this country. So now worry about what am I going to do with them? So I had to find like a community that I can integrate them in and find them a job, and then making sure they have everything they need, and then bringing my sister and then bringing my brother. And then it's like, oh yeah, I forgot I exist. Now let me go to college. I had to go to college, and then, you know, going to college, I had all these other jobs, and I was a hostess at a restaurant. No job was beneath me, Nick. No job was beneath me. Everything that was obviously legal and, you know, in good values with my morals and my situation, but, you know, clean houses, no problem. Babysit, dog sit, whatever I had to do to make money. And then slowly, I started learning skills and abilities and superpowers that I had. You know, I'm very good with people. When I speak, people listen. You start learning these things. And of course, you can use that for good or for bad. And that's, again, you make choices in life. Who do you want to become? And I wanted to become amazing. I wanted to become powerful. I wanted to become humble billionaire. That's my status. I am and will be a humble billionaire. But anyway, there's still some lessons for me to learn to get to that point. But the main point of this, you know, being immigrant, I really appreciate, and I thank God and the universe for giving me the ability to be born there, but have the life that I have here. And I am grateful for that. I really am. And it made me who I am right now.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I feel the same. I mean, I know Romania went through a lot of bad periods, and obviously first going through communism and then the whole transition. So you've gone through a lot of bad situations. I've been fortunate enough. So growing up, my country was stable enough. You know, always there were problems here and there, but nothing. It's ultimately, it was an underdeveloped country. What does that mean? That means basically there's no money for law enforcement. And when there's no law enforcement, rule of law suffers. And when there's no rule of law, it becomes the survival of the richest. And so that's the essence of underdeveloped, in my opinion. So that's what it was. And it still is, frankly. So otherwise, it was a stable environment. However, doing whatever it takes, not doing your best, but doing whatever it takes to get what you need in life is the attitude you don't find easily these days. People just put up their hands and say, well, I've done my best. Well, guess what? Your best is not good enough. So what else do I need to do? Well, you do whatever it takes, because there is no second place to get what you want in some cases. So that doesn't mean you are always going to be, you know, frustrated, chasing after things. But if you really want something, you have to do whatever it takes. As long as you don't break the law and everything.
And without losing exactly. Yourself, you know, because there were many times, and again, this is not something I've ever talked about, but, you know, I think I'm pretty good looking female. You know, I could have had things way easier come to me, let's just say, than they needed to be. But again, in those moments is who you are becoming. It's like, who exactly will I be in this lifetime? Is how you are defined. And I've gone so far you know, coming from Romania and doing this, that it was never going to be a question of my judgment on that part. Like, will I just give it away after doing all this? Absolutely not. I want to see who I can become on my own. And, you know, that's how, you know, I started again working different jobs. I even got to work at US embassies. I was a diplomat and one point in my life with secret clearance, and then, you know, started working for like a church in West Point at some point in my life. And then, you know, discovering Amazon and really finding this connection that I had again with people more than anything. I mean, I think, you know, selling products is great for people that have the patience and the love for actual, you know, the analytics and, you know, let me go to the supplier and do this. For me, that's it. I found that it doesn't suit my personality. What I love is discovering what people love. How do people tick? Like, how do you think the way you think? Why is life for you this way and not for you? So again, you know, that's, I guess, my next chapter in my life and where I'm moving towards. But Amazon has been such a big part of my life, and it allowed me to not only have great success that I'm grateful for, financial success, but having the ability to connect with wonderful people like yourself and, you know, my other friends like Mina, who I love, and Christina, and all your wonderful guests that you had on. Like, these are connections and relationships that you have during your short amount of time on earth. If you think about it, like, even the fact that we were able to spend, you know, almost 2 hours since we met each other, you know, I feel so connected with you because you shared with me parts of your life, and I'm sure you feel the same with me. And isn't this what all is about in the end? And that's what I love. I love humans, and I love being able to create the life that I want to create.
Great. So with that, tell us how people can reach out to you, how they can connect with you. We're going to put your contact information with the episode, of course, but share with us your contact information, Isabel.
Thank you. I will. But before that, I want to say one thing, you know, because I knew we were going to talk a lot about Amazon and the avatar. So what I did, I created a free PDF. If people just email me, I will give them step-by-step instructions on how to find their perfect avatar. That's my gift. That's my gift to your audience. Nothing to sell. You don't have to pay for anything. It took me a few days since we spoke last time to complete, and it's not done yet because I'm a little bit of a detailed person. But if you are listening to the show and it's something that you want to just take a look, and you know, if you want to improve it, obviously, you know, you can. But you can just go to my website, rankbell.com, or just email me directly at bell@rankbell.com, and it will be my pleasure to just have a guide for somebody that's like, you know what, I actually do want to know who my avatar is. I want to play that game, and I'll give you a full detail, like step by step, literally go here, do this. That's my gift to you, to your listeners today.
Thank you, Isabella. This was great. We can go on for hours.
At least for hours.
This may actually deliver another podcast for you and I to do it together. Maybe we'll see. We'll see.
It would be my honor and my pleasure to discuss anything you want, whether it's Amazon or anything else. And if your listeners want to, you know, throw some ideas there, we can tackle those. It has been an immense pleasure being with you, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you, Isabella. Thank you for being here. And this brings us to the end of another episode, and I'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Be sure and subscribe, rate, and review our show. And be sure and share an episode with a friend. And thank you so much for being with us today. We'll see you next week here on Amazon Legends.